Warren Buffett said, "A prediction about the direction of the stock market tells you nothing about where stocks are headed, but a whole lot about the person doing the predicting."
Money Machine. Show 89. First week of December.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome back to the Mad Money Machine. So good to have you back with me for another week of Money Mayhem. There's a story about two friends who met just before Christmas. One was a UPS delivery person and the other one was a postman. "So how you doing?" asked the postman. "Great! Business has never been better. So many packages. How about you?" "Terrible. So many Christmas cards and packages."
Yes, the difference between centralized planning and free markets.
The Mad Money Machine is so very, very, very proud, to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. You just can't find anything better than Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, in my opinion. Go to IFA.com and read through their materials. They will help make you a better investor. I am looking out my window at about 3 or 4 inches of snow today, Thursday, December 6th, is when I'm recording this particular segment. School's delayed by 1 hour, and it's the first snow of winter. I don't think I got all the leaves raked yet, so there is a mat of leaves underneath all that snow. I don't know what's going to happen when it melts. It's going to be a nice mush, a mess. Coming up on this show, I want to give away a copy or two of the 4-CD set from Index Funds Advisors, An Audio Journey to Tradeless Nirvana. And I'm going to give away a copy of Jumpin' Jimmy Cramer's new book, Stay Mad for Life. Now, I have a book review of this out on the website, madmoneymachine.com. It turns out it doesn't appear to be a very favorable review. Take a read and see what you think. I'm going to give away one of those books, though, at the end of this show. I want to thank you guys for responding to the call of putting out reviews on iTunes. I had asked for at least 52 reviews. Well, it's up to 58 reviews. And most of them, many of them, all of them actually, very positive for reviewing the show. You guys have given me the strength to carry on. Thank you so very much. Also, out at the MadMoneyMachine.com website, you'll see a new widget along the right-hand side where it's the presidential poll widget. You can shut me up about politics by going out and voting for your favorite candidate out there. I'm very interested to see who my audience wants as president of the United States. So go out there and click on the vote button. I don't think it asks you to sign up anything or give your email address. It just asks you to click a button. So please do that. And you can probably shut me up. I do pity the president that wins because they are going to have a basket full of crap to deal with, starting with the sinking dollar, the economy heading toward recession, wars, and all of these out-of-control government entitlement programs. Who in their right mind would want that job, knowing that Congress that's in power is only going to vote to make everything that much worse? Forgot to mention on the last show, I do have a link, did have a posting out at the website, but I have updated the compact calendar. This is an Excel spreadsheet that actually gives you a year at a glance calendar, and you can customize it if you want to, but it shows you all the days of the month and months of the year, all on one little handy printout. And I've pinned mine up around my computer because, you know, I always might want to know, oh, what day did the 29th of May fall on, for example? And I can just quickly look at this thing and get my answer. I'll have a link to that compact calendar in the show notes for show 89. Let's get down to brass tacks today and talk a little bit about risk. You know, everything you read and hear today on TV and in the newspapers is about all this credit markets and the devaluing of the dollar. And what if there is a dollar crisis? How do we protect ourselves? So you know that risk capacity survey that you can take at IFA.com? Well, in there, they ask you questions like, which one of the following is true? I could accept a 35% drop with a 12% annualized gain, or I could accept a 25% drop if I got a 10% annualized gain, and those kinds of questions. It's asking you quite literally, quite frankly, about your risk tolerance. And so when you look at it from the perspective of all the gains you can get, you might be tempted to say, yeah, I could accept a 35% drop if I was putting myself in a position to get 12% annualized gains. Well, think of it this way. Let's just make the statement. Let's just say this. Let's say that there's a chance that the United States will enter a deep recession within the next year or two, which might mean, and very well could mean, a 35% drop in the stock market. If you invested right now, would you still put everything in stocks, or would you diversify into bonds and suffer a smaller drop at the expense of lower long-term gains? And of course, I know many of you would be tempted to say, well, I'd put it in bonds now, and then when the recession is over, then I'd invest it in stocks. And that turns out to be market timing. And if you can time and predict when the recession is going to hit and when it's going to be over, then you have hit the lucky number on the roulette wheel, my friend. It's not skill, it's luck. But I still wonder, doesn't that say something about your risk capacity? If you don't want to suffer a 35% drop, even on your way to 12% annualized gains over the long, 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 long term, 12, 15, 20 years, then, yeah, maybe you should be in a lower risk portfolio. So if you go and look at IFA.com, you can see the 20 numbered portfolios there, 100 being the riskiest, all stocks in the highest risk categories. Number 5 being the least risky, many, 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 many bonds loaded up on with very few equities. If you wanted lower risk, you'd be toward those lower numbers. So the Wall Street Journal asked a bunch of mutual fund managers and other notables in the investment industry Monday, December 3rd, what they think is going to happen in 2008. John Bogle said, I have to tell you, I am concerned. The volatility is enormous. I think a very important lesson is don't let your emotions drive your investment program, because you'll be thinking of getting in and out. For investors, the best rule, by and large, is to ignore the daily moves of the stock market. The stock market is a giant distraction for the business of investing. Buy and hold a very diversified portfolio, U.S. and global, minimize trading fees, mutual fund management fees and sales loads, and investment bank fees. Another important lesson, always hold some bonds. I happen to like short-term bonds better than money markets because they yield a bit more and they don't fluctuate very much more. High-quality short-term bonds, 10 to 20% of your portfolio. If you're older, a lot more than that. And he continues, another very clear lesson this year for investors is avoid complexity. If you don't know what the fund is investing in, don't buy it. Wall Street has created those derivatives and those collateralized, I can't say that word, collateralized debt obligations of very uncertain problems with very high risk just to earn a little more return. Another lesson is that if you think you're getting a premium yield, assume you are taking a premium risk. And final thing he says here in his lessons is, looking ahead to the next year, be risk averse. I would never tell anybody to get out of the stock market. You want to think about how your account is balanced. For example, if you normally want to be 75% in stocks, I'd rather be 65% than 85%. I believe it's a good time to be a little more cautious. Now, this is an interesting concept. Is this market timing, or is this some new thing called modifying your risk capacity dynamically? Are you following me with this? I mean, I wonder if the issue here is, can your risk capacity dynamically change with the news in the markets? If you really feel that there's a dollar crisis coming, then maybe you want to hide in a bunker for a little while. You know, batten down the hatches. You see the big waves coming. You don't know exactly when they're going to hit, but you want to be safe. You don't want to go flying your boat full speed. You want to turn and head into the wind, head into the waves. And perhaps that's what's happening. Although, you know, anytime you've got so many of these guys, just about every one of these guys they asked. They asked Harry Lang, Fidelity Magellan Fund. They asked that Jeremy Siegel of the Wisdom Tree Investments. They asked Jean-Marie Avedayard of First Eagle Funds. Mark Mobius of Franklin Templeton Investments. All of these guys are saying, oh, be cautious in 2008. Be cautious, be cautious. And when you get a consensus like that, you know usually what happens is it doesn't happen because everybody's already cautious enough and it's built into the market sometimes. But who knows? No one can predict this stuff. Now, there can be manipulations, I guess, man-made manipulations in the market. And so if these controllers, these Federal Reserve controllers of the money, do something dumb, then it can hurt the markets, and I suppose unexpectedly. Now, the other thing that always happens this time of year is people talk about the Santa Claus rally. Mark Hulbert loves this topic. If you go out to MarketWatch and look up Mark Hulbert's columns, December 5th, he asks, will the real Santa Claus rally please stand up? Out of many pretenders, only one pattern has historical support. And here we go talking about patterns and trying to time the market again. He says, the stock market rallies during every period of the year. One could just as easily talk about a Thanksgiving rally or an autumn equinox rally. For that matter, we could talk about a Santa Claus slump, since the market inevitably declines at some point as well near the end of the year. Now, he goes on to say that usually there's some sort of rally that happens right at about Christmas, you know, the 21st of December or so, and then goes through the middle of January. In another column, he talks about how to take advantage of that, and it's only the smallest of the small cap stocks that actually participate in this so-called rally, that maybe they even call it the January effect. You know, the large caps don't have it, and if you're trying to trade the rally, usually the expenses that you'd pay getting in and out of the kind of funds that would participate in this rally would eat up the gains that you'd have, so it just doesn't make sense to try to play statistically this so-called Santa Claus rally. indexuniverse.com, one of the tools in the crib of previous shows, an article by Matthew Haugen, the 13.65 basis point portfolio. He has put together a broadly diversified portfolio of exchange-traded funds, and when you add it all up, the total expenses on the entire portfolio amount to 0.1365% of your invested assets per year, and that's It's just mind-bogglingly low compared to just about anything else you could find. I mean, unless you're investing in a John Bogle-like one half of the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index and one half the Vanguard International Stock Market Indexes, then you couldn't get much lower. Now, the Total Stock Market Index, VTI, has an incredibly low expense ratio of 0.07%, and the one that brings it up, he actually has in there 5% of a commodities exchange-traded fund. He has the DJP, the IPATH Dow Jones AIG Commodity ETN exchange-traded note. And I may have to dig down into the inner workings of these exchange-traded notes and talk about them on future shows. But my understanding is when you buy an exchange-traded note, it is backed by the company that invests in the asset. It's not actually backed by the asset. You have to have faith in the company not going belly up in order for investment to exist. Rather than for an exchange-traded fund, if you own that, well, you actually own the basket of stocks. It's not just a matter of having faith in the company, in some company. Like I say, more later on that issue. But back to this 13.65 basis point portfolio. What I did then is, you remember the Smiler portfolio, Smiler being an acronym for how you might diversify your assets: small cap, micro cap, international, large cap, emerging market, and REITs. If you invested equally in each one of those six funds, the portfolio that I've put out on the website, it would come to a 22.7 basis point portfolio. So actually it's almost, well, not quite double the expenses. Even though they're small, it's still twice as expensive as the one he's talking about there. And speaking of commodities, in his 13.65 basis point portfolio, I feel like I've taken the red pill and entered the matrix here recently when trying to understand the role of the Federal Reserve and the money, trying to follow the talk about an impending dollar crisis, trying to follow talk about, well, what do you do if there is a dollar crisis? The result usually leads to buy gold, buy silver, buy precious metals, buy commodities. And when you follow the threads of people talking about buying gold and commodities, usually you hit upon someone who is a survivalist. And then they talk about, well, what to do if the acronym is SHTF. SHTF, when the SHTF. And I'll let you try to figure out what that acronym might mean. But when the SHTF, what do you do with all your gold? And, they're talking about the power not being on at this point and running off to your safe house in the woods somewhere, which leads me to spin the guru roulette wheel and see what we can come up with this time. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. And for the selected guru, give you a little bit of background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Madman Machine Show 89 is Michael J. Panzer. Michael J. Panzer is the 25-year veteran of the global stock, bond, and currency markets who has worked in New York and London for HSBC, Soros Funds, ABN AMRO, and blah, blah, blah. And he has written a book called Financial Armageddon, Protecting Your Future from Four Impending Catastrophes, written in 2007. And I finished this book, and I actually do not recommend it, but I'll tell you a little bit of what it's about. On the front flap, it says, in Financial Armageddon, Wall Street insider Michael J. Panzer identifies the most pressing financial risks we face today. First, a burgeoning tower of public and private debt wobbling precariously on a foundation of excess and fraud. Second, a multi-trillion dollar house of cards to which all Americans are exposed, but few understand. Third, a vast array of largely hidden government promises that will ultimately go unkept. And fourth, a retirement mirage that will leave millions enslaved to the workplace until the day they die. And the book's laid out in an interesting fashion. It's written in four parts. Part one, threats. Part two, risks. Part three, fallout. And part four, defenses. And I don't think it works as a layout, actually, because I think it would be better if he covered those parts within each one of the four threats or something. Because under each one of those parts, he talks about four different things. For example, under threats, he talks about the debt, the retirement system, government guarantees, and derivatives. And then under risks, he tries to go back to those four themes and talk about the risks of each one of those four things. And then in the next section, he tries to go back and talk about the fallout of each one of those four things. And by that time, we've kind of forgotten what the risks were and the threats were. So it doesn't work as a good book. And then to the final section I was really looking forward to most was defenses. What do we do to protect ourselves if we think something like this bad is going to happen? And while he briefly mentions something about gold, and even gold could go down, he doesn't mention buying canned goods, fortunately. But it's interesting, and it's kind of sad that he mentions things like, be aware that the internet exists and go use Google to find answers to questions and things. I thought that was kind of disappointing. But I think we're going to start seeing more and more books like this, How to Prosper During the Coming Bad Years, so to speak. Well, congratulations, Michael Panzer. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine, Show 89. Let's pull something out of the tool crib. Well, this week's tool is a fun little website that helps you figure out what you should read next. And assuming you've read the book Index Funds, a 12-Step Program for Active Investors by Mark Hebner. What's that? You haven't read that yet? Well, you got to go online and get a copy of it, or go online to their website at ifa.com and read it online. Once you've read that, you will want to read other books like it. And so that's where this week's tool comes into play. Point your browser to whatshouldireadnext.com. Yeah, all one word. What should I read next? And what you do is you type in the title of a book that you like, along with its author, and press the button, What Should I Read Next? And when you do that with Mark Hebner's book Index Funds, you get back a list that includes these books, all about index funds, the ETF book, all you need to know about exchange-traded funds, all about asset allocation, the little book of common sense investing, the four pillars of investing, what Wall Street doesn't want you to know, index mutual funds profiting from an investment revolution, the unbeatable market, and personal finance for dummies, 5th edition. Well, you can do that with other kinds of books, certainly fiction books. I put in Ira Levin's This Perfect Day, for example, and got back a list of books that I know nothing about. By the way, I saw in my Amazon listing that someone went out and bought This Perfect Day from Ira Levin based on clicking a link from my website. So if when you read that, whoever bought it, let me know what you think about it, whether good or bad. Well, that's our tool in the crib this week. What should I read next? And like other tools I've given you so far, this one is free. Now, there's another thing that I've heard about on Leo Laporte's podcast, and I'm trying it out for the first time on this show, and that is I'm using the Delicious bookmarking service to keep track of websites with interesting content. And what I do there is when I come across a web page that's got something interesting, I hit a button that I've installed in my browser called Post to Delicious. And for those of you that don't know what Delicious is, it is that. It's a bookmarking website. And it's got the unique name. It's not a .com website. It's a .us website. D-E-L dot I-C-I-O dot U-S. Now, I am under the impression that they've actually bought the delicious.com domain name. Let me check that right now. D-E-L-I-C-I-O-U-S.com. Ah, they have. How about that? You can go to delicious.com and get the same sort of thing. Well, what you could do is set up an account and then install a hyperlink on your browser so that when you are at a web page, you can click on that hyperlink and it will automatically post that web page to your account in Delicious and give you the chance of putting tags on that web page that you've bookmarked. And so what I do and what Twit does, Leo Laporte at the This Week in Tech podcast, what he does is he puts a tag that is the show number for each upcoming show. And so for this show, for example, I have several links in there that I've tagged number 89. And you can actually go in and see then the bookmarks that I've tagged for this show. When you do that, you go to delicious.com/madmoneymachine. I wonder if that works. Let me try that. Mad Money Machine. Delicious.com. It does redirect you. Very nice. So you can get to delicious.com/madmoneymachine. You can see all of my bookmarks. And if you type in the show number, you can see the particular links that I've referred to on that show. One of them that I referred to for this show is a website called The Current Melt Value of Coins. How much is your coin worth? And what's interesting is that for pennies, Lincoln pennies from 1909 to 1982, of course, they're worth 1 cent in denomination, but their metallic value, which is 95% copper, you can see there is worth 1.987 cents or almost 2 cents. So a penny is worth 2 pennies. And you can actually scroll down in the page and see older coins. For example, a Mercury dime. It's my favorite coin, by the way, Mercury dimes. I don't know why. Just love the Mercury dime. 1916 to 1945, the 10-cent dime is worth $1.04, made out of silver. And you know what? The market is an amazing thing. Because I went out to eBay then and I looked up Mercury dimes. And somebody on there had, they were selling a bag full of 310 or something Mercury dimes. And do you know what the final bid for this was? It was just about $310. It worked out to be this melt value of this bag of Mercury dimes. So I'll have a link to this website, Coinflation or coinflation.com, tells you the melt value of coins.
Mad Money Machine, named by Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine as one of the must-read blogs.
I promised you last week that I'd come back to Mark Hebner and his podcast on the 12 steps. We're at step 11, which is risk exposure. Mark, I know from your book, one of the key elements is the idea of diversification. There's been a lot of discussion here about diversification, but what are the keys to considering this as an element of our investing strategy?
Well, the key point of diversification is it allows you to reduce the risk of your investment without reducing the expected returns. That's like the holy grail of investing. How can I minimize my risk and maintain some level of expected return? The other thing that's so important is that investors recognize there's a maximum point that they should expose their investments to, a maximum risk exposure. I like to think on 50-year data anyway, that's approximately 15 or 16 on the risk scale. What does that translate to? That translates to losing about 35 to 40% of your money in bad markets. So diversification allows you to reduce those losses in bad markets to hopefully an acceptable level. This is at even a high risk level about a 40% loss. But by looking at risk exposure over long periods of time, you can also see that there are investment choices that reduce those losses down to 1.5% or 10% a year, much lower, by diluting the equities in your portfolio or the risk exposure with fixed income. At the end of the day, diversification allows you to control the risk of your investments, and that's a beautiful thing.
Okay, and for our listeners working their way through the 12-step program, how do they integrate this risk capacity and risk exposure into their existing portfolios?
What you should do is on this risk return plot that we show on page 218 and at the bottom of the homepage at IFA.com is in essence a map where you should take an estimate, or you should make an estimate of your current investments. Your current portfolio has an expected risk and an expected return. And all investors should make an attempt at determining what those risks are of your current portfolio and comparing them to an efficient risk exposure, like is shown in this graph. When doing so, we have yet to see investments that are more efficient than the investments designed based on these index mutual funds that are tilted towards small and value companies in a globally diversified portfolio. So that's the main benefit, is you get to now have a benchmarking tool to compare your current investments with something that would be better for you, but it allows you to actually get evidence of that, should you even be able to get your hands around the risk and return of your portfolio. That's the real problem here, is it's difficult for you to get that information. And it would be best if you consulted with an investment professional who can try to give you some estimates of those numbers, both the risk and return. And once you have that, then you can come to these this step 11 risk exposure and get a good comparison of what you have versus what you could have.
Thanks very much, Mark. That wraps it up for step 11 risk exposure. For more information about sources, go to ifa.com. We've got one more step to go, and we will get to it before the year is done. Like to give away now one of the CD sets from IFA.com entitled An Audio Journey to Tradeless Nirvana. Four CDs. This makes it great for listening in your car. Helps remind you about the 12 steps for active investors. So I've entered all of your guys' names into the hopper here at random.org. I'm going to press the... I've got... For the CD giveaway, Philip, Justin, Doug, Troy, Youssef, Moti, and Pete. I'm going to go to random.org and press get number. The number is 6, and that's Moti. Moti Silberstein, or MOTUS2. Email me with your mailing address, and I will send you one of the CD sets. Let's go back now, and I'd like to give away a copy of Jim Cramer's new book, Stay Mad for Life. And be sure and read my review of the book before you read this book, if you get it. Doug, Dennis, Jim, John, Nathan, Troy, Youssef, and Pete are in the running. Random.org, press get number. The number is 1, and that is Doug Ashley. Congratulations, Doug. Give me your mailing address, and you will get a copy of Jumpin' Jimmy's new book. I'd like to give away another CD set. Let's go to random.org, press the magic number, and the number is 6. So this time it's Pete Barini. Pete, email me your address and I'll send you a copy of these 4 CDs set. I've got one more Jim Cramer book to give away, and I'd like to give that book away on show 91. That show's in 2 weeks from now. And I would like to give that book away to someone who posts a link to Mad Money Machine out at their favorite forum. Now, what you can do is, if you write a comment in somebody else's web forum or discussion forum, it may not even be about the subject of investing or whatever, but you can put in your signature line that you're an avid listener of madmoneymachine.com. And then just let me know that you've done that. Email me, feedback@madmoneymachine.com, and you will be entered to win Jim Cramer's new book. So far, I'll take John's entry from triplehash.blogspot.com, and he's the only one in the running, so he may win unless you guys put a comment somewhere else. And I just thought about this. You may enter more than once. So the more places that you post the madmoneymachine.com link into various forums and things, the better your chances of winning. I want to thank you so much for joining me here on the Mad Money Machine. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes a dynamically adjusted risk capacity to make a Mad Money Machine. I will see you next week. In the meantime, visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Like I said at the beginning, they have a tremendous amount of information to make you a better investor. Go sign up for an account with them to help you manage your investments. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me, please email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com or call the voicemail line 206-734-4763. Leave a comment in the show notes. And to win a copy of the Cramer book, make a comment in someone else's blog or forum and reference the madmoneymachine.com in your signature line. And I'll see you next week. Happy holidays.
Are you one of the millions of Americans dissatisfied with politicians who cater to special interest groups while ignoring your individual rights and our national security? Ron Paul is the presidential candidate you've been waiting for. Ron Paul is committed to the issues of your individual rights, small government, and a secure nation all across the country. Americans just like you are supporting Ron Paul, the champion of the Constitution. There is hope for America. There's hope for you and me. Visit RonPaul2008.com. Paid for by Americans United for Liberty. UnitedForLiberty.com. And not endorsed by any candidate or candidates committee.